mercy to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text is the Holy Gospel. Please be seated. Dear brothers and sisters of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I mean, this is horrible, isn't it? Dreadful. It's a nightmare of gargantuan proportions. You're at the big bash wedding reception at Cana, the social event of the season. Anyone who is anyone in the Galilean high society is there, and the wine has all been drunk, every last drop. Go ahead, you can shake the casks, you can upend the glasses. They're all empty, they're dry as a bone. And you can't go to Sam's and buy more because there aren't any Sam's back then. Lousy planning. Who's in charge of this shindig? Have we been punked? Have we been hoaxed? Manti Teo? Tricked? Nothing worse than being at a wedding reception and running out of liquor. Isn't there some kind of federal mandate that won't permit such a tragedy? No? Well, there should be. Something has to be done. Someone has to act. Somebody call Robert Irvine from the Food Network's Restaurant Impossible. With his muscle, his get-in-your-face attitude, and expertise, he can pull off a MacGyver and rescue this party before everyone starts to riot or goes home deeply disappointed. Wait a minute. Wait just a minute. Maybe there's someone else on whom we can call. Hey, Mary, darling, be a dear, please, and chat with that son of yours. You've got some pull with him, don't you? Throw your weight around. No disrespect intended. Exert your influence. Bring some motherly pressure to bear. Surely there's something that he can do about this disaster. We're desperate here, Mary. We've got no booze. The natives are restless. We're about to experience wedding crashing 101. Put in a good word, won't you, honey? We're begging you. And Mary acts as mediator. She speaks to Jesus on behalf of her friends, her relatives, and the partygoers. My son, there's a problem. It's quite embarrassing. I'm ashamed even to tell you, but they have no more wine. Like he doesn't know already. Mary doesn't have an in with Jesus as mediator. She's not the go-between. He shrugs her request off with a cryptic, "Woman, what is that to me?" I suppose it's his way of saying, "This is none of our business. It's not our call." And then Jesus spouts off another remark. It's quite odd in this wedding reception emergency situation. My hour has not yet come. Okay, what hour? What in the world does Jesus mean? Has he had a little too much to drink? Hour? What's that all about? Well, it's the only hour he could ever mean, and that's his hour, the hour otherwise known as, you know, a Good Friday, the climax of universal history hour, salvation of the world hour, through the one and only mediator who mediates between sinners and God, Jesus himself, the Savior. And so, when Jesus tells Mary, "My hour has not yet come," he's reminding her of who he is and what he's really up to. He's here to do the salvation of the world job through a holy week that culminates in his bitter suffering and death for sinners, a whole world full of them. And that's when Mary tells the employees at the wedding banquet, "Don't listen to me, listen to Jesus. Do whatever he tells you, no matter what he commands. Don't ask why, just do it." And that's when Jesus starts barking out the orders. "Fill up those 6 stone water jars over there, gentlemen, and take them to the master of ceremonies for a quick taste." But Jesus, those are for the bride. They are to be used for her ceremonial bathing right before her wedding night. We're not supposed to touch those. Do whatever he tells you. What did he just say? Boys, he told you to fill them up to the broom, to the brim. Chop, chop. And now it's off to the MC. Can you imagine the outrage? The looks and the moans. How dare Jesus go messing with the bride's bath jars? Especially on her wedding night and soon to be celebrated honeymoon. No doubt this raised many eyebrows. The servants, they are to be sure that they should do what Jesus said. And they do it. The bride's bath water is no longer bath water. It's wine, real wine, the best for everyone to enjoy, even if they're a little giddy, tipsy, or three sheets to the wind. The MC takes a big swig. He's delighted. No watered down Muscatel, but the very best, even after everyone's buzzed. How generous. The bride will have to find some other jars for her wedding day bath. But the party can go on. It's not a disaster after all. The miracle and generosity are all from "My hour has not yet come, Jesus." This is an epiphany, a revelation, a manifestation, a sign, as John puts it in the text. It is the first or the chief of all signs that Jesus did. The miracle brings right out into the open something that is hidden from everyday sight. And that's the way it's done. On the third day. Did you catch that in the text? On the third day. It was the third day that Jesus rose from the dead, you remember. Easter Sunday, we call it, when he revealed who he is and what he had accomplished. He's the Savior of the world, Savior of you, in his hour called Calvary, Good Friday, and Easter. And so whenever you hear "on the third day" here in John chapter 2 or anywhere else in the Bible, you can expect what? You can expect big things to happen, divine things to happen. Why? So that you will believe in Jesus too. The sign, as well as the other signs that Jesus did, are meant to rouse up faith in him as the Savior, your Savior, just as the text says. This, the first of his miraculous signs Jesus performed. He thus revealed his glory, and his disciples put their faith in him. Now, the gospel according to St. John ends like it begins. Listen to the ending of John's gospel. Jesus did other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book, but these are written that you may believe that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that by believing you have life in his name. Seven signs John records in his gospel. The one we heard this morning, the wedding water changed into wedding wine. He heals a royal official's son in John 4. He heals a paralytic at Bethesda in John 5. He feeds the 5,000 in John 6. He walks on water in John 6. He heals the man born blind in John 9. And he raises Lazarus from the dead in John 11. And then there's an eighth. His resurrection from the grave on the third day. All done and hooked with his word. You see, when Jesus attaches his word to things, miraculous signs or revelations of Jesus happen. In order to do what? To stir up our faith in him. These days, he hooks his word to water so that it is a washing of the new birth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, holy baptism, a bath that purifies sinners with the blood of Good Friday hour's salvation. Today, he takes wine, and he tells you to drink it, and according to his word that the pastor proclaims, it is also his blood. And so too the bread, he tells you to eat it, and that according to his word, it is his body, his Calvary and Good Friday hour body and blood. He doesn't have any other body and blood. And he says it's for you, for the forgiveness of your sins. Now that's gift talk. For you talk is gift language. It is lavish and it is generous. Every Sunday, then, the divine service is a celebration of the third day, the very day that Jesus rose from the dead. Every Sunday is the outrageous and joyful festival. It is victory over all your sins, over your biggest and nefarious enemies, Satan and the grave. Yes, today, brothers and sisters, Jesus reveals his glory among you, his heavyweight bodily presence of grace through his word and sacrament. Having, if you will, another Cana in Galilee revelation of himself as your Savior, that you're so precious to him that he comes to give you his body and blood to eat and drink. Yes, today, the Lord's Supper is a foretaste of the eternal wedding feast to come between Jesus the bridegroom and you the bride, his church. He bids you to come and eat and drink and not to fast. And better do what he tells you as he heavyweights his glory among you. Don't you think? Of course. Happy believing in him. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. You may be seated for the next hymn.